Thank you. Except for a heart singing high. Man. He puts a lion inside of our lungs so that we can lift up our arms in praise, so that we can lift up our praise to Him, so that we can lift up our praise to others, so that we can uplift others, that we can join arm in arm and we can uplift others as we praise Him together. You know, this month, it's the month of the military child, and I can't think of any other people to be uplifted. You know, most military kids, they weren't in the world when their parents joined the military, right? They came into a life that was already kind of pre-decided for them, where their family has to be separated and segregated during times of conflict, times of just regular deployments. And as a family unit, can you think about how difficult that is on those kids, that their dad or their mom leaves for a certain amount of time, and then their family changes for a little bit, for 6 months, and then it comes back together, and then it changes again, and then they switch schools, and they move to new places, and they find new friends, and they get new doctors, and all the things that a family stability cycle that somebody's not in the military has to deal with. And so I can't think of a group of people as in the military children that need to be uplifted, that we need to surround in prayer. You know, He's uniquely placed each and every one of us that are here in a military community to uplift the community that's around us, the kids that are around us. I mean, think of how powerful it is for us to have Rangers and Impact to surround military kids with our presence, to fill in the gaps where that parent may be not there at that particular time. So can we say hallelujah together? Can we say hallelujah together for the military kids? Can we spend this month really pressing in and praying for all the military kids, not just the ones that are here in Groton, but military kids all around the world, that their parents go and they fight on our behalf to provide that stability that we have, that we don't have to worry about when we go to sleep at night, that we have this strength and stability. So can we come together as a church body and pray all month long for the military children in our community, and uplift them in prayer, and uplift them in resilience, and uplift them in strength, and think about the struggles that they may have, and just come alongside them and just pray for them. Lord, I'm asking right now that everybody can come together, that we can stand arms linked and just uphold with gratitude and praise these young souls, Lord. As they come to you, Lord, can we pray that they come to you, Lord, that they come to you for that strength and that support, Lord, that they look to only you, that they don't get distracted by the things on the left and the right, Lord, that they come to you, Lord, and that we are here for them, and we will provide them with that strength and stability, and that we will provide them with that modeling aspect, Lord, that you need us to provide, Lord, that we will take every opportunity that you give us to uplift you, to praise you, and to bring them along with us, Lord. To show them what right looks like, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we uplift them all. And we praise your name. How about a shout of praise for him? How about that lion in your lungs? A shout of praise for them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, you guys can be seated. Thanks so much. Hey, I'm Pastor Chris, and I just want to welcome you guys to church this morning. If this is your first time here, we just want to welcome you, and we do that around here by clapping for you because we want to honor you. But of course, we don't want to just clap for you, right? We're a family. We want to truly connect with you, and the easiest way for us to do that is for you to text the word welcome to the number that comes up on the screen. A small link will come back to you. It just takes about 20 seconds or so for you to fill it out. And then once you fill it out, just like that, shabam, we are connected. All right, and we're also available on Facebook, on Instagram. We even have a TikTok page. And if you want to email the office staff, it's office@seaportcommunitychurch.org. And then if you have never met with Pastor Brad, he will be available in the narthex after service. So make sure you take a few minutes and go say hello to him in the cafe. And of course, we have all kinds of awesome opportunities that are coming up. If you don't have our Church Center app, the easiest way to get that is to hit that QR code that's on the back of the seat back in front of you. It'll take you to a landing page where all of these things are. And so if you haven't figured this out yet, we are a praying church. We think prayer changes everything because it does. And there are all kinds of opportunities to pray, whether you're a morning person, a night person, you want to be online or in person, lots of opportunities. So make sure you take an opportunity and pray with us. This Wednesday, we are starting our second session of Growth Track. The first one was amazing. It was 12 weeks long. The next one starts this Wednesday, but you got to do what? What do you got to do? You got to sign up for one of them. There's Bible Essentials. There's Belong. There's Team Seaport. There's Deeper Things. There's all kinds of things. So make sure you guys sign up for something because we want to empower you and equip you to go forth and spread the gospel. So make sure you're registering for that. This coming Saturday, this is a huge place. There's lots to do. And in order to keep it beautiful, we need lots of help. And so there's an outdoor work day, and that's happening on Saturday. So make sure you guys are signing up for that. And then if you're a teen, you know, 13 to 18, there's an extreme laser tag event. It sounds amazing. It's happening on Saturday. Make sure you sign up for that. And then if you have never come forward with your faith, if you've never been baptized this Sunday, there is a baptism. So make sure you guys are signing up for that. Come forward with your faith. Make a public declaration of your private encounter, all right? So next up, we got an awesome video because the church has been around for 35 years, and this one, we're honoring the youth, so make sure you guys take a look up here and let's check it out.
Amen. Amen. So what we're doing is, what Lindsay has done is she's giving just kind of a quick look at one section of the church, and then on the 35th, we'll put all this together and play all the videos together. So every month, we're kind of highlighting one segment in the 35th. Seaport was officially 35 last Sunday. Speaking of young people, we have one of our young people grew up in the church, Elijah Jones. Most of you will know Dad and Mom, Andy and Melissa. This is their oldest son, Elijah. And so anyway, so Elijah, come on over here. We're gonna talk. Now, we don't see you much, but there's a good reason why we don't see you. Where are you?
All right, so I'm up at WPI.
What is WPI for those of us who don't know?
Worcester Polytechnic Institute.
How tall he is. He's taller than me. Okay, so you're up in Worcester, okay? Yep. WPI, you're studying what?
Mechanical engineering.
Okay, But that's, I mean, that's great, and that's awesome, and you're doing well, I understand. That's great. But you've really got something else that you're doing as far as ministry. What's that? Yep.
So thanks to Ron Feaster, who I'm sure many of you know, I got involved with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. And I'm now the vice president for that.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, okay. So that's an international organization, InterVarsity. It's on a lot of college campuses across the U.S. and beyond. And so you're the vice president. So tell us a little bit more about that group before we highlight something. Tell us a little bit more about the group.
Yeah, so the chapter at WPI is really young, maybe like 5 years max. A few years ago, they would have like 5 people at a Bible study, but now, like 2 years later, we average probably 25.
That's significant. That's huge on a college campus.
Yeah, we do worship and prayer nights, outreaches on the campus, things like that.
Wow. So I know that just recently, you went on a missions trip to New Orleans. You know,
New Orleans.
And you went to New Orleans, Louisiana. For those of you who don't know where that is, it's a long way from here. But anyway, so why did you go to New Orleans, of all places?
Yeah, so 20 years ago, when Hurricane Katrina hit, InterVarsity started this thing called Serve Up, where they would send college kids down on their spring break to go help and rebuild and restore homes and help the community out there. And so we still had different projects like that. Our chapter went to New Orleans, and we worked on rebuilding and restoring homes down there.
Right. So you went last year, and again, you went down again this year.
Yep.
And I mean, Seaport had a part in that. What was that?
Yeah. So thanks to your guys' giving, you're able to sponsor myself, three of my roommates, and a friend of mine to all go.
So that was $2,400. Okay. That us guys pitched in. Now, not all that went were even Christians, were they?
Nope.
A bunch of just some non-Christians going this thing?
Yep. So the other goal of ServeUp is that we strive for a 50-50 ratio of Christians and the non-Christians. And the goal is that by working in an environment with the love of God, that they would come to know him. And then every night we have a Bible study and reflection time. And so those three roommates that you guys helped us send were all atheists as of last year. And so thank you for that.
Didn't know you were sponsoring atheist missionaries, did you? Anyway, you know, the Lord smiles sometimes at these things. But that's a really great thing. And I mean, so tell us a little bit more about InterVarsity and kind of what's happening now.
Yeah, so just things coming up now as a direct result of that. Two of the guys that went with me on ServeUp are actually joining me to come to Seaport's Men's Encounter in a couple weeks. So that's awesome.
And again, now, somebody here said, you know, I came into a little money and I want to see four guys go to the encounter. So they wanted to sponsor four guys in full. And I said, well, that's a nice idea. But I took the four sponsorships and I cut them in half. So eight guys could get half. And so that has helped us add a lot. We have 39 men going to the encounter. 39. That is one of the largest ever men's encounters in the 20 plus years we've been doing this. Isn't that amazing? So you've got a couple of these guys that are going with you, but there's more. What about this launch?
Yep. So those roommates that I mentioned are going to be our first group for launching something known as GIG, which is Groups Investigating God. So it's a Bible study for non-believers who are interested and haven't made that commitment yet. So we've come a long way from atheists last year to where we are now.
Isn't that great? I've said to all my college ministry, campus missionary friends, I said, if I could, I'd take every one of Seaport's missions dollars and give it to campus ministry. Now, I can't do that, but that's how much I believe in it. 185 college and university campuses across Connecticut, Rhode Island, and Massachusetts. Some of the most powerful and prestigious universities in the world. World leaders are on these campuses. Tomorrow's world leaders are on these campuses today. These ministries are super strategic. Super strategic. So how should we pray? Elijah, I'm going to take a moment. I want to pray with you. How should we pray for what's happening there?
Prayer just for spiritual growth, growth in numbers, for the GIG launch and campus outreach. Next week, we're going to be doing our first ever collab with every Christian club on campus to do studies
nice.
And then outreach, and so things like that.
So let's pray together, friends. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you that we're able to invest in WPI. Lord, I know right where that campus is. I know right where it is. And I'm thankful for the impact that's being made. Thank you for using Elijah and Ron through the years to impact that place. God, that just thrills my heart. And I'm thanking you for the progress that's being made in the hearts and lives of these young men. And I pray that, God, that would continue and they would come fully devoted followers of Jesus. And the two that are coming to the encounter would really have an encounter with you, God, in a remarkable way. And God, these outreaches that they're doing, the launch and all the rest of these things, God, may they be incredibly effective and successful. May the devil in no way derail or hinder. But God, may they just go forward. Continue to keep your hand upon Elijah as he's the vice president. And God, just give them guidance and direction. And may they just walk in the power of your Spirit, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Give Elijah a round of applause. And Ron, too. Amen. Woo. Awesome, man. Awesome. Good. Isn't that great?
You.
Woo. You know what? And Seaport, thank you. Thank you so much, because it's your missions dollars that have made this happen. It's your sponsorship dollars that have made all these things happen. They don't just happen, you know. So thank you. I mean, thank you so much for doing all of those things. And I just really appreciate it. I just want to thank you for your incredible generosity. I mean, you know, it has been a challenging year. You can see by the budget slide behind us financially, although this past week was really great. You guys were amazing this past week. Thank you for that. But we're still lagging behind. But watch what God does, because you're going to see that gap close. I say that in faith. Amen?
Amen.
And you know how he's going to close it, right? By blessing you. That's how it's going to close. By blessing you. Hallelujah. Aren't you excited about that?
Yes.
I read this story. I'm going to share it with you very quickly. There's a book that I'm using in my Learn to Lead class. It's a phenomenal book written by a pastor friend of mine. And in the epilogue, he talks about the difficult day that his wife announced that she had cancer and the saga that was going to put them on. And it's interesting. I was just reading this, and I'm just going to read a portion of it to you, what he said, you know. A few days after we were plunged into this challenge, I told Cindy, this is Ron Loy, somebody's God pastor, said to my wife, Cindy, I think we need to increase our giving. She immediately agreed, absolutely, of course. This is a wonderful time to give more. I read this, I'm like, okay, that's really like crazy. We decided to increase our tithe by $100 a week for the duration of the journey. Now, why do that? I'm reading this. This is right from the book. This seems counterintuitive, and we wanted to fight the natural selfishness that comes from uncertainty, fear, and trouble. In times of uncertainty, take a faith step in response to the fear. You know, I mean, selfishness naturally happens when you're sick. It's not a sinful response. It's a normal, when you're sick, it's normal. When you're sick, sickness dominates your thinking. That's true, isn't it? You know, you focus on, well, I survived. Well, what do I do next? Can I endure the pain? What am I going to miss? And all those things. We all know these things, don't we? You turn inward. You know, it's almost like a reflex. But this is what he said. I'm just going to read it to you, okay? By increasing our giving, we sent three messages. You know what? Before I read this, I felt like the Lord said to me, increase your giving. So I increased my giving. In face of inflation, as you just said, I don't care. I'm just going to increase my giving. To missions, to what I give. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Right in the face of inflation. I'm feeling it just like you. Okay? So by increasing our giving, we sent three messages. First, each week we wrote the check. We sent a powerful message to ourselves. Our trust is in the Lord. How about that? He goes on. I'm just going to abbreviate this. Second, we sent a message to the devil, or the enemy. I don't know if Satan sees my tithe checks, but I hope he does. We wanted him to know cancer isn't going to stop us from trusting in a faithful God. It's going to make us trust him more. And then he says, third, I'll post this in the connection page. We sent a message to the Lord. We trust you. You're our source, our protector, our provider. Our trust is in you. He says, I'm not saying every person must give more money to God's work when they get sick, but that's a faith step that they took. It's a powerful principle. In times of uncertainty, listen to this, in times of uncertainty, take a faith step in response to fear. Fight the tendency to be selfish. Increase your giving. Do something for somebody else. Share your faith. Stay engaged in your area of ministry. Whatever you do, don't let trouble change trust. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just thought I'd read that to you. You can respond however you choose to respond. But I read that. I thought, wow, that is potent. You know, it's so potent. This guy is one of the most respected pastors in all the assemblies of God. Legit guy. So anyway, Lord, thank you for the privilege of giving. It's our honor. It's our privilege. God, it's never really about the money. It's always about the heart. It's always about what we can do with it in advancing your kingdom. And God, we thank you because of the generosity of your people. Lord, we're able to send a whole bunch more guys to encounter because of the generosity of your people. God, we sent a bunch of atheists to do ministry for you. And God, you're touching their hearts. And they're coming to encounter. How important is that? God, thank you for the generosity of your people. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people. And I know you'll pour out on them because you said you would. And I'm trusting that you will. Thank you, Lord, so very, very much. Amen, friends. Amen. Amen. There's ways to give. You can see those behind me. Hallelujah. And again, if you're visiting with us today, there's absolutely no pressure to give. I'd actually prefer that you not give. Just be blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to release all of the youth. They can take off into the fellowship hall right now. All youth are heading off that way right now. So you're going to get up. You're going to go out these doors and to the right to the fellowship hall. I hope you had a chance to see the little reel, the little video that was made of yesterday's derby, Ranger Derby. Man, you need, if you haven't seen it, you need to see this. I mean, this is such a setup. You know, with an aluminum track and computer timed and cameras. Oh, my gosh, it's amazing. And I hope that you... How many of you saw that reel? I see it on the Facebook page. It was in the email, too. How many of you saw that? Okay, if you haven't seen it, you need to see it. It's just a lot of fun. There's also a video in the email of a link to Gifty's latest video from Ghana. Hopefully next week we'll have a report that had all kinds of challenges in Ghana. Even though Gifty's back, they're still going on. They've had some major issues over there, but they're getting the job done, and we hope to have a final report next week. But we'll see, okay? So anyway, so it's great to have Gifty back. Let's take a, you know, it's the Sunday after Easter. But let's not let it get too far in the rearview mirror. Let's take a quick look at the road beyond Easter in this video.
This tree is over 300 feet tall, estimated to be at least 600 years old. And that's nothing. There are trees towering over this forest that were just seedlings when Christ was walking on the earth. How deep do you think the roots are on a tree like this? 100 feet? 1,000 feet? The truth is, a tree this tall can't grow roots deep enough to support itself. That is why redwoods have intertwining roots. They support one another. These trees literally do for each other what they can't do alone. I think Jesus demonstrated that same mindset for us, that we're all in this together, supporting one another. I mean, think about it. He never just passed somebody by leaving them stuck. Jesus was constantly intertwining his life with those he came in contact with. He called people out of obscurity to join him in his journey of changing the world. He healed a blind man with mud. He restored a chronically ill outcast with merely the hem of his garment. He renewed one woman's hope for second chances and reminded a Pharisee of his need for mercy instead of morality. Jesus' ministry was constantly intertwined with people, connecting with them on the most intimate levels and changing their lives forever. Jesus called his followers to love people the way that he loved them, to bring health to the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, touch the untouchables, and as you have been treated generously, so live generously. And that call hasn't expired. Yeah, his charge to the church is just as clear today as ever. Therefore, may we be rooted in Christ, intertwined with one another, so that we may continue his mission.
Amen. 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 You'll see where that ties in just a moment here. But before we jump into the message, let me just simply say this to you. Tomorrow there's a solar eclipse. It is not the end of the world. Okay? It is not a prophetic warning. There are solar eclipses and there are lunar eclipses about every few months. Can we not go crazy? I understand the scripture. Jesus spoke about signs in the heavens. I get all that. But this is not that. Okay? It's a solar eclipse. It happens. Say it with me. It is not the end of the world. Okay? Now, if you want to differ with me, come and talk to me later. I'll pray for you. All right. Just a little fun. All right. I'm waiting for the return of Jesus, not for the sun to do something, and the moon to do something. Okay. All right. Let's jump in here to this. Difficulties are bound to come. Jesus said that. The question is not if they're going to come. The question is, will your hope and your strength be strong enough to stand in the face of it? That's the bigger question, right? That's really the bigger question. I mean, life will come, and sometimes very suddenly. And I mean, your dreams, your hopes, your goals will be dashed in a moment. And you'll be left wondering, what now? What now? Where do I go? What do I do? Easter, or better, Resurrection Sunday, is now in the rearview mirror, and most of us have few reminders. We might have some stranded leftover in the back of the refrigerator, some piece of candy that has escaped the clutches of the kids and dad. And, there may be some random Easter decoration that's still waiting to be put back somewhere. But for the most part, it's in the rearview mirror. Till next year. And on that weekend, now as all those days ago, that weekend for the disciples, when it was in the rearview mirror, it was quite the weekend. Think about what they had experienced and things that they had confronted and the things that they had put their hope in that suddenly just were dashed in a moment. I mean, think about this with me for just a moment. It's Thursday night, and they're enjoying the annual Passover dinner together, and they go out to pray. And while they're at prayer, the guards come, and they arrest Jesus, and they take him, and they try him illegally at night. In the morning, he's punished and beaten. He's brought before Pilate, and Pilate sentences him, and they take him to Golgotha, and they nail him to a cross. And there he dies on the cross. They take him down from the cross and they bury him all within 24 hours or less. And suddenly it's Friday night and everything is quiet and it's Silent Saturday. And you must have had a group of men going, what just happened? Their hope was wrecked. It was gone. Dreams were crushed. This idea of Jesus, the political Messiah, delivering them from Roman oppression and the religious political system that were in cahoots with one another, that were controlling people, destroyed. All of that was gone. Their dreams of being on the ground floor and being in the cabinet there with Jesus and being enriched themselves and becoming wealthy men, all gone in a moment. And their left was just, what now? What do we do now? I mean, do they just go back to pre-Jesus days? But how do you do that after 3.5 years of walking with the Master and seeing and hearing and feeling and experiencing all the things that you had? I mean, how do you do that? I mean, what about all the promises that he made? The miracles. The words about him coming back. About them being representatives of a new kingdom. What about all of that? What about changing the world? What about that? What about all that? We're not given much of a clue as to what those guys were thinking, except that they were pretty afraid because they wondered if they would be next. But I'd have to imagine for just a moment that some of them maybe were afraid. Some of them were numb. Maybe some of them were angry at themselves for being caught up in this religious fervor and cultic movement that now was gone. And now they look like fools. Some of them must have been disappointed with themselves to think, how stupid could I have been? But on the other side, they say, wait a minute. We were there. We saw him raise the dead. We saw him open the blinded eyes. We were there. We saw it. We heard it. We felt it. How could it be gone? But it was. Or so it seemed. Or so it seemed that Friday night and that Saturday. You know, when difficulties come, you learn a lot about yourself, don't you? When the hardship comes and the hope is dashed and everything in front of you that you're banking your future on is suddenly gone, you find out something about yourself. Sometimes we suddenly will just withdraw from all of our social activities. Sometimes we'll just lose all motivation to do anything. Sometimes we'll give ourselves to the drug of our choice or the addiction of our choice. Some of us will stop taking any kind of interest in how we look or our health. Just don't even care anymore. Some of us will descend into emotional numbness. We'll just sit on the couch and stare at the wall. Some of us will engage in risky behaviors because what's the sense? Others of us will consider and even attempt suicide. Some of us will descend into negativity and despair and criticism of others. And still others of us will throw our hands up and say, I don't need God, and walk away. I don't know what these guys felt and what they experienced. I know that they experienced a little bit of some of this from some of the things that were told. Those hours must have been beyond belief until, of course, Sunday morning. But the questions for me are these. How did the apostles, because you see, even after the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, things weren't going to go exactly like they thought. They weren't going to go like that. But for them, they would be plunged into a whole new relationship with Jesus. But it would be very challenging and very difficult. And how did those apostles retain a hope that sustained them through great difficulties and great hardships? How did they do that? How did that hope live? What can we learn from them and what can we learn from others? We're going to take a very brief look at that this morning. How to make sure that hope lives even through the great difficulties of this life. Because they come. They come. You know, my first thought is this, is you've got to have the right foundation. Now, my father spent his life in the construction trades, and so I spent a piece of my life in the construction trades, and because of my father's life in the trades, he would often bring out analogies and spiritual ideas and truths and kind of ram them into my heart and life, being the oldest, about various things from the construction. And one of those favorites was he'd say things like this to me, Brad. He'd say, "It's all about the foundation. If the foundation isn't right, nothing else matters." And that's true, isn't it? when they put the foundation of this building, I took a lot of interest in watching it and making sure that, to my knowledge, I'm not a construction guy, making sure it was right and it was strong, because if it wasn't right, the rest of it wouldn't be right either. In 2016 in Connecticut, it was discovered that hundreds, if not thousands, of homes and commercial buildings, the concrete in their foundation had been mixed with iron pyrite, which was now crumbling. And the foundations of homes and businesses in this state were crumbling. It would take $300 million to fix it. And that's years ago money, not today's inflationary money. You see, when the foundation isn't right, it doesn't matter how beautiful everything is above, because it will fall or twist. It will buckle. It will never be right. Hope has to have the right foundation, friends. You see, those guys, their hope wasn't built on the right foundation. Because this is why. All of their dreams and all of their thoughts and all of their hopes were built on the wrong idea. They were built on the idea that Jesus was a political Messiah come to rescue them from the Romans. Everything they heard, everything that they experienced, everything that every time Jesus spoke, they heard it through that grid. And of course, it was wrong. And they were disillusioned because they misunderstood what Jesus had said. Their hope was built on the wrong thing. What's your hope built on? Is your hope built on a Jesus that's going to make your life perfect and wonderful and rich? Wrong Jesus. Is your hope built upon, if I get the right education, I'll get the right job, I'll make the right money? Is your hope built upon, if I get the right relationship, my life will be happy and it'll be wonderful? Is your relationship built upon the right job, the right this, the right that, the right this, right this, right that? If your hope is built on that, in a moment it could all be gone. Then what? No wonder the old hymn writer wrote, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name." I know I just dated myself with that, but some of you know that song. Look up the lyrics. They're powerful. After the resurrection, it took them a while, but their hope began to be built on not a political kingdom, but on a spiritual kingdom. They began to understand that the resurrection of Jesus did show that he was everything that he said he was, and it began to make sense. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 would talk about the resurrection of Jesus when he said Jesus, over the period of 40 days, would appear to a person or a small group or to as many as 500 people at one time. They knew it was true. They knew he had come back. They knew he was resurrected from the dead. He would be with them for a short time. And then, of course, Acts chapter 1 tells us he ascended with the promise of one day to return. But they became so convinced, and now they finally understood, and they finally had that aha moment. They finally said, "Now we get what he said." And their hope flipped to an eternal kingdom, to an eternal Messiah, to a spiritual Savior. Our hope must be built on the fact that we know that Jesus is alive. And even more than that, his word is true. He loves us passionately. He knows you by name. Last night, I just loved it when I heard Bob. Bob prayed online. He said, "Thank you for writing my name on the palm of your hand." That's from the book of Isaiah. I love that, Bob. You know, we need to understand that he desires to take our lives and use them in dramatic ways, not as a cabinet in a political kingdom. No, something beyond that. We need to realize he's the living Messiah that will never leave us nor forsake us, up and down, in and out, through all the difficulties. And when our foundation is built on that, as Jesus said in Matthew 7, then when the winds and the waves buffet us, nothing moves us because our hope is not in anything except Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and who fails not. When your hope is built on that, then that hope empowers you to navigate when all of life and all the craziness comes. You know, talk about crazy. There's a story of God's power found in the book of Acts. And by the way, next week we'll pick back up the themed book of Acts study that we're doing called Unstoppable. We'll pick that back up next Sunday with one of the strangest stories in the book of Acts, chapter 8. I love this story. It's you have to understand how much love it took for me to let Adam preach on that text. I love that story so much. It's an amazing story. What God does. It ties in so beautifully. Next week, to the baptism. If you've not been baptized in water, you need to go public with your faith and be baptized in that tank right there next Sunday at the end of the service. Amen? Amen. The Ethiopian eunuch was baptized. You can be too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's a crazy and a wonderful story. I don't know if you read, it's not in fine print, it's in bold print. In the scripture. It's in red letters, as a matter of fact. When you became a Christian, I don't know if you knew that this clause is in there. Did you know this clause is in there? Here on earth, you'll have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I've overcome the world. Do you know that was in there? Now you do. Guess what? You're going to have them. Don't be surprised, Peter said, when they happen to you. Right? This idea of, oh, my life is going to be wonderful every day with Jesus. Yes, but that don't mean it's going to be easy. This past Thursday, Chris and Maxwell came with me to a regional meeting that, you know, I'm responsible for. And while there, the district superintendent, kind of like my boss, told of being recently in Dubai for a meeting with Assemblies of God missionaries. And you've had some, we've had some of them here, what's called Live Dead missionaries. Kind of get the idea if you're going to join a group called Live Dead. And he talked about being in a room with about, I think he said something like 20 or so young Arab Christians from various parts of the Arab world that were there for training. And the leader of the organization was standing up in front of them, and he was saying to them, he said, look, I'm just going to tell you like it is. Some of you are going to live your Christian life and you won't encounter anything serious. You'll live for Jesus. And you're talking about living for Jesus in the Arab world, primarily Muslim world. You'll live your life mainly and not much of anything difficult will happen to you. There's a second group of you. The second group of you that you'll encounter great difficulties in standing for Jesus. In this world. And he said, I have to tell you the truth. There's a third group of you. These are all 20-somethings. He said, there's another group of you that will lose your life for the gospel. I'd like to be in that meeting. A 20-something Iranian Christian raised his hand and said this. He said, so let me get this right. What you're saying to me is the worst possible thing that can happen to me is I can lose my life and go to spend eternity with Jesus. Superintendent said, I didn't even feel like a Christian after he said that. I kind of was right with him on that one. Trouble can come, and trouble will come. But it's not about the trouble. It's always about the hope. It's always about standing strong. And back to the book of Acts in chapter 16, Paul and Silas, They roll into the Roman colony of Philippi and they begin to preach the gospel. And it isn't long before trouble finds them. A little slave girl with a spirit, a demonic spirit that empowers her to tell the future, begins to basically kind of harass him. And Paul finally has enough and commands the demon to come out of this little girl, and the demon does. Now the slave masters, the one who owned her, were really ticked because they realized that the gift that that girl had was gone, and their hopes of wealth and power were now gone with it. They grab Paul and Silas, drag them to the magistrates, and where they're beaten and thrown in prison. And Paul and Silas begin to feel very sorry for themselves and ask themselves, why are we doing this for God? We didn't have to do this. We could have lived a different life. It could have been easy for us. That's not what they said. Some of you are like, well, I never read that. Because it's not in there. What did they do? At midnight, it says, with backs ripped open, hands and feet in chains, they begin to sing praise to God with everybody listening. And right at that moment, an earthquake. We're familiar with earthquakes, aren't we? I don't know what kind of earthquakes those were, but this was a good one. So good that all the chains, the jail doesn't fall down, but all the chains fall off all the prisoners. That's a crazy earthquake. And not only does it free them, but it leads to the jailer and his entire household coming to faith in Christ. And it leads to Paul having quite an interaction. Read this if you've never read it. Quite an interaction with those same magistrates. And he freaks them out when he tells them something. You read it. Here's a powerful thing about hope. It can cause you to sing in difficulties. Break free from what holds you. Enable others to experience freedom. Empower others to get to know Jesus. And then elevate you to a place of respect. Read it in Acts 16. Paul and Silas. Why can you do that? Because they had a hope in the resurrected Jesus that he would never leave them, never forsake them. And look at how he demonstrated his power to them on that night. Christian friend, hang on to hope regardless of what you see, feel, and experience. One last thought. Hope was never designed to be a solo experience, but a team experience. What do I mean by that? You see, you heard it last week and you heard it in the video. Very important to understand something, that the resurrection of Jesus is the power to transform a group of disconnected people. Look around this room. There's a whole bunch of people in this room that you would not know. You would not choose to care for. You would not choose to be in friendship with. You would not choose to pray for. You would not choose to care and support or be in league with unless it had been for the resurrection power of Jesus Christ that redeemed your life and brought you into this crazy thing called the church. I don't know. Maybe there is, but I'm not sure that there are many other worse feelings than encountering some terrible event in your life, a horrible situation, and being alone in it, not able to go to somebody who you know loves you and will not judge you. Somebody who will honestly and earnestly pray for you. Someone who will seek words of wisdom or just to listen or find a practical way to help you or offer you even finances and money to help you, support you in some way. I don't know if there's a worse feeling in life to go through something horrific and have no one or almost no one to share the burden with you. And conversely, is there anything more painful than to climb the ladder and achieve success and attain the goal and get the accolades and hold the trophy and all the rest, and to look around and be surrounded by a bunch of strangers that are cheering but lose interest in 30 seconds and go off into the way, and there's no one there that loves you enough to say, I'm so proud of you. Is there anything more painful than that? That's the reason right there for the church. You become part of the body of believers. And your life gets interconnected in a root system. So that you grow up tall, but you're connected. So that no matter what comes, whether it's incredible and amazing achievements or horrific and terrible events, you're connected with a group of people who love you, who pray for you, who care for you. That's the church. A group of people filing into a building, going through a liturgy, and then getting up and walking out an hour later. That's not a church. That's a religious service. Jesus gave his life to create the church. Just a group of people who love him, the living Savior, and who love one another. Those are the reasons, among many others, what we need each other. I need to challenge you. As this message is about to wrap up, I need to challenge you. This Wednesday night, we begin session 2 of the Growth Track. This just isn't something that we're doing. This is something that we're doing in order to prepare you and mature you and strengthen you and help you to get the roots down so that you and Seaport can grow strong and healthy. That's why we're doing it. Change your schedule. Get here on Wednesday nights. Amen?
Amen.
Say, I'm not used to coming to church on Wednesday night. I don't care. Change your schedule. I got stuff to do. I don't care. Change your schedule. Maybe you need to, and I realize that there's some legit challenges and limitations. I get all that. But sometimes they just become easy excuses. Maybe you don't know, maybe you don't have a good foundation for your faith and you need to know what you believe and need to learn how to share your faith. Belong is a great place to start. Maybe you're here and you're saying, I don't really understand the Bible and how it all works. Then you come to Adam's class. He taught it once, now the second time will be really good. I know some of you came staggered out of his class like, I know. Maybe you say, I need to get involved. I need to learn how to pray. I need to consider being a member of Seaport Community Church. That's what Team Seaport's about, being that. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I've done all those kinds of things, and I need to step out and learn how to see where God may want me to lead. And that's not as scary as it sounds. You can come to my class. If you've done all of that, we're adding a fifth class. Chaplain Maxwell will be teaching deeper things. It's really designed for very mature Christians. We're going to talk about the deep things of what Jesus talked about when he said the kingdom of God. It's heavy duty. It's not light. You're not sure where to go? Figure it out between now and Wednesday. Sign up today. Be part of this. And get growing. Amen?
Amen?
It's important because God wants to build a forest of redwoods here, and he can't do it unless we get the roots down and get connected.
Amen.
So let's do it. Amen? We need you, and you need this. I hope that you will. I hope you won't blow me off. Hope that you'll do it. Can you say, I will, Pastor Brad?
I will, Pastor Brad.
Thank you. Thank you very much. As I wrap this up, very quickly, I want to give you practical steps. In a moment, we're going to sing, you know what? Band, you guys can come right now. This is what, I want to give you some practical steps on cultivating hope daily. You don't want to wait till you're in trouble to hang and to build hope. Build hope now. Amen?
Amen.
Build hope now. You don't want to wait till you get sick to suddenly start caring about your health. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to encounter a difficulty and then start building hope. No, build it now. You can have hope because the resurrected Jesus stands with you no matter what. But what you need to do is you need to make sure you have a daily appointment with God. You got to stay rooted in Scripture. You got to meditate upon the Word of God. Every single day of my life, I do this. You got to spend some time praying. You say, I don't know what to say when I pray. Then do this. Simply say, I don't know what to say, Lord. I mean, I'm not being funny. Just simply say, God, I don't even know what to pray about. And suddenly an idea will come to mind. A need will come to mind. Begin to pray about that. Or say this. This is what I say. Lord, what are you interested in talking about today? That's what I say. And he tells me, okay, let's talk about that. And it's just like that. Some of you think you've got to memorize some prayer and throw it out there. You don't do that when you come see me, do you? You haven't memorized a script to come in and say to me. You come in and you talk to me. Go into the Savior's office and talk to him. Amen? Just talk to him. He's not waiting like, that was a really lousy prayer, dude, get out. Share your story. Share your story with somebody. Tell the stories of God's faithfulness and care in your life. You know? Listen to somebody's story. And right along with that, very closely related to that, is this. Practice gratitude. There's so many wonderful things that happen when you and I take a few moments to express gratitude to the Lord. I like to start every prayer meeting with just simply saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Many of you know I do that. Thank you. Thank you. Practice gratitude. When you leave this church and walk out the door, say, God, thank you that I could go to church today freely. When you get in your car, you say, God, thank you for this car. Some of you may say, God, this car is a junk, but thank you. I drove junks for years. Thank God for them every day. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for this junk. It runs. And it's really cheap. When you go to your house, put the key in the lock, go, thank you, Jesus, for this house. When you look in that closet, thank you, Lord, for these clothes. When you look in that refrigerator, say, thank you, Jesus. When your kids are driving you to insanity, say, thank you, Jesus, for these kids. But help your servant quickly, lest he kill them. Practice gratitude and serve effectively. Serve. Amen? Just get out there and serve. Serve someone. Care for somebody. Sometimes the most powerful thing you can do to somebody is look at them and say, hi, and smile. That might bring joy to their life. They may wonder what you're smoking. I've literally done that, had people ask me what I was smoking and if they could have some. That's the truth. Stand with me. We're going to sing this song. I want you to look at those on that up there on the slides. I want you to look at those. I want you just to pick one and say, I'm going to do that this week. Don't pick all four. Just pick one. If you want to do all four, that's fine, but just pick one. Say, I'm going to do that one this week. And you know what? When you do that, you feel hope arise. You feel gratitude arise. You feel joy arise. Amen? Because you know that Jesus is with you. And he won't leave you and he won't forsake you. He's the risen Savior. And he'll take you through anything and use it for your good. So live a life of gratitude and praise Him at midnight. Amen? Praise Him at midnight. Hallelujah. Because He's risen. Come on, let's sing this song. Minister team's going to come and stand across the front here. They'll pray with you about anything. Maybe you need to meet Jesus. You know about Him, heard of Him, but you don't really know Him. You've never invited Him into your life. You've never confessed your sin to Him. You've never said, God, forgive me. I open my life to Jesus today. I invite Him in to change my life and set me on a new path. Maybe you need to do that today. Let me tell you what, you will never be the same. It will amaze you what happens to you. Ministry team, come, stand across the front. They'll pray with you about anything. Maybe you're here and you just need somebody to pray with you. They'll pray with you about anything that you have need of. As we close, You can begin to come. They're going to continue to sing this song here in just a moment. But there's at least one, maybe more here. I'm not sure. But I've made a decision. If God drops something in my heart, I'm gonna act in faith and speak it out and trust God. Standing here, I just really felt like the Lord said to me, there's one of you that's here that's one, maybe more, you're at midnight. It's been so difficult. You feel like your arms and your legs are chained, your back is bloody. And you're wondering how in the world you got there. Pull the Paul and Silas thing and begin to lift up your voice right now and sing praise to God. I don't think they were saying, hey, we're so excited that we're in this mess. I don't think so. They were singing praises to God. And let's be part of the root system. I want all of us to do this, whether everything is going great for you or not. I want us together to do this. Let's lift up praise and thanksgiving. And we're doing this. We're doing this to support the people that may be at midnight. Lord, we lift up our voice and we praise your great name. And we say thank you for your goodness. Lord, we may not be at midnight, but there may be a brother or sister in Christ that's in at midnight. They feel like they're in jail, they're busted, they're broken, they're not sure what's going to happen. But we rejoice, Lord, because you're the great God. You can send an earthquake. And Lord, we just simply say thank you. We just say thank you. We praise you for your goodness. We praise you for your great kindness. And Lord, we just trust you that you are going to help them supernaturally. And if we're part of your answer to prayer, then God, may we be so. Help us to be part of the root system. Thanks, Father. We just bless your great name. Amen, friends. If you need prayer, come and receive prayer. If you don't need prayer, go out in the narthex and talk to somebody and spend a few minutes. Don't forget your kids. Go get them first and then come and talk to people. Go get your kids first. God bless you guys. Have a great Sunday. If you need prayer, come and receive it. If you need to meet Jesus, come.